The dawn of a new year, but the title of today is Works. Remember, I talked to you a few weeks ago. I talked about, as we launch into this year, faith. Faith comes by how?
Hearing
the word of God. So that was number one. And number two, our faith gets developed by works. Amen? So why don't we stand and read out of James chapter 2, verses 14 through 20. This is a wonderful passage. It's titled, Faith Without Works is Dead. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but do not give them the things which they are needed for their body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come into your word, I pray that, Lord, you would stir our hearts today. That, Lord, that we would not just take this message lightly and with a grain of salt, Father God, but, Lord, that you would empower us today. You would fill us today, overflowing, Father. That we could take this word, Father God, and it would produce life in us and everyone that knows us. Father, that you would strengthen us today. And Lord, you would just encourage us by your word. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. I read that last verse very slow for a lot of purpose. It says, do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Do you want to know? That's the key question. Do you want to know that faith without works is dead? Our faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And my question would be, how much do you want to know? You know, if you get on the news wire right now, you're going to find out stuff you didn't. I mean, Marianne was looking at some stuff the other day because Pastor Dave's going to preach second service today, and he gave her some stuff, some notes on stuff. There's crazy things happening in our country right now. And there's probably things you don't want to know, but don't bury your head in the sand because you need to know that the time is drawing near that Jesus is coming. Amen? Things are lining up rapidly, and we need to be ready. Amen? But it does seem that the more that we trust God with what he says, the more we will step in faith that causes us to do works. The closer you get to God, it just seems the more you want to do with him. You know, as I looked back on the word this week, I looked at Adam, and Adam heard the word, but yet his faith was swayed by earthly influences, and he failed. Noah heard the word, and he stepped in faith, and he built an ark, and he put animals in there two by two. The Lord gave him 120 years. Now, it didn't take him 120 years to build the ark. They say it only probably took about 3 years to build the ark, but the Lord gave him 120 years to warn the people what was coming. I look at Abraham, and the Lord said, get up from this place and go to a land that I'm going to show you. And he got up and he left Ur. But when he left, he took some baggage with him. The Lord said, don't. And we do that too sometimes. We move, but we take baggage with us. And his baggage was Lot. And Lot caused him some problems, man, when he was there. But God covered him anyways. And Abraham heard that he was going to have a son, and he did. But then Abraham heard, I want you to offer your son as a sacrifice. And so he went as far as to build an altar, bind his son, put him on the altar, and raise the knife in the air. But Abraham also heard, stop! I'm sure Isaac was really glad about that. Those kind of situations, boy, you want to know you're hearing from heaven, amen? Moses, he heard from heaven. And he stepped out in faith and he delivered a nation. You're beginning to see that what happens when we trust in the Lord, how we can step out in faith and we can do incredible things for God. See, in you and me, we have so much more than those men that I just talked to you about. I mean, maybe save Adam, who walked with God in the cool of the day in the garden. But Noah, Abraham, Moses, those guys, they didn't have this. They didn't have all this instruction. They weren't filled with the Holy Spirit the way that you and me are. They didn't have all that. But yet they did incredible things from God because they stepped out in their faith to do what God called them to do. They performed works that were incredible. And as you step out, that you start seeing things. But it's when you don't that you start seeing things like Adam did. And there's a king, it's King Jeroboam in the Old Testament. King Jeroboam had a wonderful promise from God. God told King Jeroboam, he said, "Then it shall be, if you heed all that I command you, walk in my ways, do what is right in my sight, to keep my statutes, my commandments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build for you an enduring house as I built for David and will give Israel to you." That was the promise, King Jeroboam. I mean, what an incredible promise. I'm going to give all this to you if you just follow me. Just do things my way, do what I say, and I am going to bless you beyond measure. Your kingdom will be as great as David's. It'll be lasting. It'll be enduring. And you know, Jeroboam, man, God gave him 10 kingdoms of the north. There was Judah and Benjamin in the south, and God gave Jeroboam all these kingdoms, the kingdom of Israel to the north. What a promise. Just do what I tell you, and man, it's going to be great. You know, but hasn't God told us the same thing? Didn't he say in Matthew 6:33, but seek, this is out of the Amplified, but first and most importantly, everybody say first. And most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things, everybody say all, will be given unto you. If we just seek God's way of doing things, he's going to take care of us. That's the promise. So we're given the same word that Jeroboam was given. So what did Jeroboam do with it? What do you think he did? You think he just soared with the Lord? Well, I'd like to say he did, but he didn't. You know, in what happened with Jeroboam is he lived in fear. He was afraid he was going to lose people. He thought, well, what if the people go back to Jerusalem to worship the Lord and they don't come back? See, I'm not afraid to mix with other churches. I'm not afraid that you'll leave. I'm not afraid that people will leave their church. I don't worry, because we're the kingdom of God. Amen. You know, so if we worship here, or if we join all together, like in the National Day of Prayer, we're going to be with In Christ United, the association of churches that we have in town, and we're going to do something together for National Day of Prayer. In the summer, we're going to be at Living Truth, that the new church that they just opened up over on River Road, and we're going to worship together. We're going to do a great night of worship. And then for the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, the first Sunday in November, we're going to be at Connection Church. See, I'm not afraid to intermingle with other churches, because if you feel God calling you there, praise God. I look at my mom. My mom was in this church for 40 years. Hallelujah. And see, my mom was not one, you don't wander, you don't look, you don't go, you stick through and you pray. Right. Man, I learned faithfulness from my mom. I learned loyalty from my mom. You don't wander, you stay. It's like, wow. I even asked her, you know, this week, I said, Mom, because my brother's like, are you really going to Africa on Sunday? I said, yeah. And he says, well, what about all this? I said, well, I know where Mama's going, man. I'm okay. So I asked my mom, I said, Mom, in front of my brother, I said, Mom, do you think I ought to stay home? No, absolutely not. You have a job to do and you go and do it. I'm like, all right. loyalty. See, and it comes when the king here, Jeroboam, he was afraid though. He's like, oh. So it says in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 27 and 28, out of the Amplified, it says, if these people go up to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem to offer sacrifices, then their heart will turn to their Lord, to Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So the king took counsel and followed bad advice. Who ever got bad advice before? And made two calves of gold. And he said to the people, it is too much for you to go all the way up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Remember they built that gold calf in Egypt? And he's liking it unto that. And you know, Jeroboam's kingdom, Israel, it suffered greatly. And every king after Jeroboam was evil. There was not one righteous king in Israel when the tribes were separated. Jeroboam set the pace for that kingdom. And I tell you this today, you are setting the pace in your family for the kingdom of God. My mom set the pace. My brothers and sisters, they don't all go to church all the time, but they do all know Jesus. And my sister made a commitment to my mom yesterday. Mom, I release you into the hands of God, and I will go hear Ron preach once in a while. I said, I'll take that. So, we are setting the pace for our nation, for the people we know, like Jeroboam did. And he didn't set it well. He got it off really wrong. And he set the pace for a wrong thing to happen. We can make a difference today. Amen. So what does faith and works look like today? You know, because we always, you know, well, you need to be an usher. You need to be a teacher. Let's really look at what works looks like today. How do we interpret that? I was chatting with somebody online from, I get invites all over the world all the time. And I, just trying to decipher through everything is the challenge. But I this guy's going, we need you to come to India. We'd like you to do crusades in February. I'm like, no. He's like, please come. Here's our website, you know. I said, maybe next year, you know. And, you know, they're like, just come right now. I said, no, you guys want too much money. Because everybody, you know, they want me to bring money. And I'm like, no, you guys want too much money. And they said, no, you just buy your plane ticket. We'll take care of everything else. And I'm like, well, that I can work with, you know. But he says, go to our website and look at it. Look at our website. I opened up their website, and this is what it said. It said, in one hand the gospel, and in the other, bread. And I thought, that's what we do. We have so much bread to give away every day in this house. It's amazing. Giving the gospel and giving the bread. And I was with this guy in Peru one time, this pastor, and you know, in some foreign countries, it's a lot different than here. You know, in Peru, there's you pull up to a stoplight, and there might be a young man that wants to come and wash your windows. You know, or there might be somebody that is doing a gymnastics routine in the crosswalk. He'll be doing flips through the crosswalk and stuff, you know, basically dancing for you, then looking for a tip. And I was with the pastor. And in his door, you know, where the door handle was, he had a whole bunch of money there, change and stuff there. And so when they came up, to wash his windows, he'd roll down the window and he'd just give him change. Or when he saw him dancing in the street there, he'd roll down his window and he'd give him change. He was always ready to give out. He was always ready to touch somebody. And it's like they knew this guy was coming because, boy, they would perform great when he would pull up to a stoplight, you know? And it's just faith in works, working together, you know? And when we trust God, what God is saying through His Word and through the prophets and through that small, still voice we hear, we need to learn to step out into it, amen? We need to learn to do something with what we hear. But a word of caution, if it's contrary to this, don't do it. Don't do it. If it's contrary to this, don't do it. But I have a few specific things I want to bring to you today before we take communion. And number one that we have to have, the number one work that we need to do is love. We have to love. This is not an option. This is not an option. We have to love God and we have to love people. Amen? We don't have to like what people do. But we're all called to love, amen? There is no clause on this. Jesus loved the people that persecuted him. And God so loved the world that he gave his son for us. He didn't pick and choose. He said, well, I'm just going to do it for Jeanette and not Holly. He said, I'm going to do it for everybody, all the world. And so his love is extensive to us. He doesn't pick and choose, and therefore I don't believe that we can pick and choose. That was the one thing my mom was great at. She just loved people. She just loved people, hugged people, just loved them, cared for them. She didn't care what your junk was. She didn't care what my junk was. She just loved me. She didn't care what my brothers and sisters' junk was. She loved them. All she wanted is she wants them to serve God. That's all. You know, yesterday I also had She also had her 19th great-grandson was born yesterday before she passed. We were able to tell her, Mom, your 19th great-grandson is here. His name is Luke Alexander. And in death there's life, amen? And so life came yesterday, but my mom just loved people. And Jesus tells us, well, Paul tells us what love is in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. We're not allowed to be rude. Amen? Even to that stewardess that just messed up your order or brought you a dirty plate or a dirty fork, we're not allowed to be rude. We don't have that option. When you signed up for the kingdom of God, you don't have the option to be rude anymore. You don't have the option to be mean anymore. Thank you, Martin. I hope you're all thinking right now. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Love will last forever, amen? And I took out the highlights out of this because, you know, love is not, there's a lot of what love is not, but I want us to know what love is. This is what we need to do. We need to be patient and kind, amen? We need to rejoice whenever truth wins out. We need to never, everybody say never, give up. We need to never lose faith. And we need to always be hopeful, amen? We need to endure through every circumstance because love lasts forever. See, that's the positive thing. I didn't want to mess with what love is not. This is what love is. This right here. It never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. Endures through every circumstance. That's what I'm doing today. I'm enduring through every circumstance. But I can do it with joy because I know where my mama is. She is rejoicing today. She's probably, you know, I'd like to think that she's seen my dad and she's, you know, fellowshipping. But, you know, I doubt that. I really believe that when we get to heaven, it'll take us about 1,000 years to get off our face when we get into his presence. Because there's nothing like the presence of God. Amen. You know, but the benefit comes when we do things God's way. When we love the way God loves. That's when the benefit comes. The benefit came to Noah when he did things God's way. The benefit came to Abraham when he did things God's way. The benefit came to Moses. The benefit came to David. Our way produces death. And I'm not talking about just dying. I'm talking about separation from God. How many of you are married here today? I'm going to give you the key right now to marriage. This will save, heal, make any marriage whole. Right here. I wrote Marriage 101. Stop being selfish and love your mate. Just stop being selfish and love your mate. That'll take care of everything. 35 years of experience tells me that. 35 years this March. So can you imagine if we really went after that like never before? We stopped being selfish and we started loving. Not just our mate, but just people. And when we love like that, it'll lead us into number two. And number two is compassion. Mark 6:34, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. He began teaching them. He was focused on breaking them out of that confusion that they were under, that lostness. And when he was done teaching, he fed them. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. He fed 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Having compassion looks at the need and figures out what God wants to do. And this is where works kicks in. Out of the love of God, we have compassion. We don't just, freak out and shun people, but we start trying to figure out, Lord, how can we meet that need? What can we do as a body of believers to meet that need? You know, out of love, we're compassionate towards our fellow men and women. Not just men and women of God, but towards the lost. That's what Jesus did. He saw them and he was so heartbroken for them that they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he went out of his way and he sat down and he taught them. He brought life to them. And then he fed them. He's like, no, let's not send them away hungry. Let's go the whole mile. And you know, maybe you know a family. Maybe you know a family in need. Maybe you know somebody that's hurting. And maybe you know somebody that could use a meal once in a while. All you have to do is call Valerie and say, hey, how do I get some food? I want to minister to a family. I want to take some time. And I want to go and I want to touch this family for God. You see, but it takes, you have the love, you have the compassion, but it takes number three to do it all. It takes time. See, if you're going to minister to a family, it's going to take time. If you're going to reach out to somebody, it's going to mean you're going to have to stretch yourself a little bit. You might have to go out of your way to help somebody. Works takes time. Love and compassion should bring us to the place of giving time to help forward the things of God. I'll get my sister Josie. She's such a blessing. You know, she comes in here every Friday and leads the people in our food ministry in worship. She's got a team of ladies. And you know what? You know how many instruments they have? They have a drummer. So she goes to the beat of a different drum. No. But she's got Mike in there playing the drums. That's the only instrument she has. And she's got Yolanda on one microphone and a couple ladies from the Spanish church on the other microphones. And they lead worship every Friday. They commit to coming in. Now, Josie, have you ever done that before? But you saw a need and you said, I'm going to fill it. Now, Yolanda said, if you let me sing, I'll do it. I can't sing, but I'll do it. Well, Yolanda's learning to sing and she's up there doing a great job. And Yolanda comes every Friday and she translates it for whoever's speaking. And she speaks once in a while out there too. It takes time to commit to do something like that. It's incredible though. They're touching lives every week. It's awesome to see. But when you love, you invest. Amen? It's like being married. You invest time there because you're in love and you're married. You love Jesus, so you invest time for an outward expression of that love by coming to church, by worshiping, by praising God, by giving to the Lord, an outward expression. But God is also calling us to invest time for the love and the compassion to flow, amen? That we can touch people with that love and compassion. Jesus had such compassion, even on the cross. He's on the cross and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It's like, oh. Reminds my mom this week. I said, "Mom, it's okay. You can go be with Jesus." She said, "I don't know, Rhonda. You know, your brother, my little brother, he's having a hard time. David, you could pray for him. He's 11 years younger than me." I said, "Mom, it's time for him to grow up. It's okay." That's what my mom would tell us. You know, my mom's sister's husband went to be with the Lord. My mom gave her a year to mourn, and my mom thought, "All right, you need to stop now. It's time to move on." "Whoa, Mom." She goes, "Well, I can say things like that." She would always tell me, I'd say, "Mom, you can't say everything that comes to your mind." She goes, "That's the problem, Ron. The older I get, it doesn't make it to my mind. It just comes out of my mouth." Jeanette did something the other day. My mom just looked at her, "You dummy." But our love should never dwindle. Amen. We look around in our society, and I really feel like that in the world, we're becoming desensitized to the lostness of people. We're separating instead of grabbing hold of. We're disassociating instead of infiltrating. See, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to infiltrate, not disassociate. He wants us to get around the people that are lost so we can influence them, so we can spread the gospel of the kingdom, amen? So we can show the love and the compassion of God. And when we don't have that compassion for the lost, it's when we stop giving time. I really want the Lord to come. I really do. I want to go be with Jesus at some point. You know, I just think it'd be great. But you know what? I don't pray for him to come. I do not pray for the Lord to come yet. There's too many lost people. There's too much lostness around us. And that concerns me. We have to, in our own personal lives, out of the love and compassion of God, make time to reach the lost. You have to make time to step out of your own bubble and say, "I'm going to touch somebody today for the King of Glory." Just as I said, if you want your marriage to be great, stop being selfish and just love. This is what we need in the world. We need to just stop being selfish and just love. We need to step out. And I believe that this year God wants to launch you and me out to touch people for the King of Glory like never before. I believe that God wants to open doors to you like never before, to family members that have been rejecting everything you've said. I believe now is the time to go back. I believe that door is being opened and that God is going to call them out of the darkness and into the light. That you are going to be the voice of the Lord into their lives. We can't stop trying. We have to remember that we're here to serve the great God. Amen. That we are here to do works for the King of Glory. You know, you can serve in this house. You know, we have a new children's pastor, Lucia, back over there, who is just excited and running. We have our new youth pastors with us, Jeff and Romina here, that are excited about what God is doing. You know, when we weren't youth pastors, Delonda used to, we had a van, and it was terrible because she broke so many laws. She's not here, I'll tell you. But she used to pack 10 kids in our little van and bring them to church and then go back and get 10 more. She would bring at least 20 kids to the youth ministry on Wednesday nights because we know, man, we've got to win them when they're young, amen? And so she would go out of her way. She would tell my daughters, invite all your friends. I'll pick them up. I don't care. And she'd be driving and she'd take them all. She'd take them toilet papering at night, late at night. She'd do whatever she could to reach those kids, to bring them, you know, and we need that. You people that are older that say, oh, I don't need, man, you can drive a car. Call your grandkids. Call your young people. Say, you know what, I'm coming to get you. You know, I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to take you to dinner and I'm going to take you to church. And you don't even have to spend any money because we'll feed you when you get here. At some point, the love and the compassion has to rise up to cause us to reach out, to invest time in what God wants to do. Amen? It does take time. I know, I looked at the agenda they made for me in Africa. I arrive in Uganda, I arrive in the city at 9 o'clock on Tuesday night. They start praise and worship at 8 o'clock on Wednesday morning, and we go till 9 o'clock at night, and this is for 6 straight days. I praise God that there's 6 of us going, so I don't have to do it all. Because that's a lot of speaking. You got to invest time. You have to invest time in your family, in your lives, your friends. You've got to make a way. In the end of all of this, we're going to be held accountable for our time. Jesus gives gifts and talents, and he expects us to use them. And the servant, he gave talents to, and he didn't use them. He buried it. He said to the Lord, I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. See, we're going to be held accountable for the gifts and the talents that God has given us. What are we doing with it? Are we investing time into it? But I believe this year, whatever you've done in the past is the past, amen? Good or bad. Yesterday's gone. It's today that counts, amen? It's today that we're moving forward. It's today that God is launching us into the future for the kingdom of God, amen? It's today that we have opportunity to serve the King like never before. It's today we can reach the lost. It's today we can extend the gospel and the bread at the same time. It is the day and it is the hour, and the Lord Jesus is launching us into this year like never before, and I want to challenge you today to start investing not only your love and your compassion, but your time to build the kingdom of God, because it is today that matters, and it is what God wants to do, because I believe he is the soon coming King. I believe that Jesus is on the horizon of coming, and we need to be ready, and we need to get as many people ready as we can. Can I hear an amen? It's up to us, the body of Christ, to reach out. We are God's chosen vessel. Listen, it just hit my spirit. You are the ark that Noah built. You are the ark that Noah built. You are the way that Christ is reaching out to salvation to bring the people. You are the ark. Be that ark, amen. Allow God to steer you, to direct your path, that you can win somebody for Jesus. If you'll just start asking, he'll start showing. If the love that you have for God and for people grows in you, the compassion will compel you to reach out and spend time to touch somebody for Jesus. Whether you got to do it on the phone, whether you got to write a letter or send a card, do something to touch somebody for Jesus. Amen. It's time. It's the opportunity. We will do all that we can to help you. You want more training on evangelism? I'll give you all the training you want. You want more tools? We'll give you all the tools you want. You want food to give out? We got food. Last week it was pretty light because there was only one school open. But this week everybody's back at school, so we're going to have food Monday through Friday. If you make arrangements with Valerie, man, pick up a couple of pizzas and take them to a family. Pick up a couple of salads and take them to a family. Pick up some Miguel's burritos and just bless a family. Say, you know what, I wanted to bring you dinner. Go down the street and knock on somebody's door and say, hey, I wanted to bring you guys dinner tonight. They'll say, well, who are you? Well, I'm the guy from down the street at New Hope. I got this thing I'm coming up with. The Lord spoke to me the other day. It's called RAC. It just happens to be in my initials, Ronald Allen King. But I'm going to make a card that says RAC. And what RAC means is random act of kindness. And it's going to have RAC bold letters on the front and little letters. It's going to say, little caps, it's going to say random act, and then small case of, and then capital letters, kindness. Random act of kindness. And I'm going to give them to you. And I'm going to put a map to the church on the other side with our service time so that you can do random act of kindnesses whenever you want, and you can touch people for the King of Glory. Amen? I want to give you things that will help you, because you can't say, I don't know how. All you've got, You have what Jesus gave you. He gave you life. If he's saved you, tell people, I got saved. Well, what is that? What are you saved from? I'm saved from death. I have eternal life with Jesus Christ. You know that. Tell somebody. They might say, hey, you're a freak. Well, they told Jesus he was a freak. Who cares? Who cares what that lost person out there thinks about you? You got to stop worrying about what people think, amen? We're so conservative and so restrained that people are going to hell all around us. And it's got to cut loose. The compassion has to kick in. That we make time, amen? How many of you are willing? If you're willing, just stand to your feet. Come on. Let's come to the front. Let's come. Let's make this commitment today. I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm willing to make the time. And you know, and I'm not saying you got to be at church 24/7, but I believe you got to be willing 24/7. Amen. You got to have your heart and your mind open. Come on, come to the front. It's okay. Get up. Let's get in tight. I want to pray. I want to pray. I want you to just receive this prayer. I want you to open up your hearts today. I want you to just lift your hands towards heaven right now. Dear Heavenly Father, as we're here before you and we've heard your word, I pray, Father God, that your love would just fill us today. That, Lord, your love, the love that you have for people would fill us. The love that you have for the Father would fill us today. That, Lord, that love would just breed compassion in our hearts today, Father. That, Lord, it would compel us, Father God, to make time for the King of Glory. To make time to reach out. To make time to touch somebody for the King of Glory. I pray, Father, Lord, for that compassion to build in our hearts. That our hearts would be broken for what breaks yours, Lord Jesus. That, Lord, that we would be willing and to lay ourselves out before you. Lord, to put ourselves on the altar, Father God. So that we might reach somebody. I pray, Father God, for these people, for divine encounters to come to them. I pray, Father God, oh, Lord, that they would have encounters this week, Father. Even today, that, Lord, they would encounter people. And they could be poured out as an offering. And Lord, from that word, you said we are the ark. Lord, I pray that as the arks, we would save lives. That people would find refuge by talking to us. And we would show them the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a big clap. Hallelujah. Robert and Victoria are going to get the communion ready right now. If you believe in Jesus and You believe that He died for you and rose from the dead. And you believe on Him, you're welcome to take communion. So just grab the emblems today. You can stay down here. You can go back to your seat and we'll take it all together in a moment. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to be seen. Glory to you, Father. Glory to you. Yes, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Y'all, this is my friend Martin right here. And Martin's going to be speaking next Sunday. He's a minister to 18 nations in Asia. Wow. Yeah, and he's getting ready to head to China here in the next month or so because somebody's turning over some Bible schools to him in China. So come next Sunday. You want to hear this man speak. It's going to be a blessing. Bless you, Martin. Praise you, Father. If you need healing in your body, just raise your hand right now. Father, you see these hands right now, Lord, and we declare, Lord, by the word of the Lord, by your stripes, we are healed. Father, I pray for the healing to be made manifest in the body today. I pray, Father God, that bodies would come into alignment with your word today, that, Lord, no weapon formed against them would prosper. But, Father, you would wash out any sickness or disease that would come against your people, Father. And that healing would flow in this house today, Lord. That the Lord God Almighty would reign and be victorious in here today. That, Lord, that sickness would be defeated in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we're just reminded of your word today. This is Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it." Why don't you break your cracker right now? "And he broke it and he said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's take that. Hallelujah. Jesus, we are so thankful that you were willing to be broken for us, that we could have life. That we could have life and life more abundantly. And I speak abundant life over this body today. I pray, Father God, that you would just cover and protect and keep them, Lord. Lord, that your brokenness would bring life to us. And Lord, that we would learn from your humility, Father. And Lord, we would realize that all our strength comes from you. That our hope is in you, Lord Jesus. And we would walk in that, Father. Lord, that as we have love and compassion, Lord, it would just compel us for the time. And Jesus, you made time. You made time for the lost. Let us make that time out of a compulsion of knowing you and your desire to heal the lost, win them to salvation. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Father, for the blood. The blood that was shed for us, which washes us and cleanses us, makes us whole. Lord, I pray that today, that Lord, that whatever past things that people have today, Lord, we could just leave here today. That Lord, that we don't take it with us today, but Lord, we just allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse us right now. that we would truly partake of what you've done for us. In verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 11, it says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's take the cup. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Fathers, we just rejoice in who you are in us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. And Lord, I pray a covering over every person as they go their way today, Lord, as they step out, Lord, and with the love and the compassion of God. Father, that you give them wisdom, Lord, and you give them, Lord, an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying so that they don't miss out on an opportunity, Father, for that soul to be saved. And Lord, that you just cover, protect, heal, and bring provision for your people as they go. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. Please be praying for us as we go to Uganda today. Have a great day.